That's one magical fire breathing cow. It's like it's like the fire breathing Santa of cows.
I'm burning. And that's the end of Nerdburger Theater. Nerdburger Radio Theater. Our first production.
And
scene.
Welcome to Nerdburger, episode 27. I'm Mike.
And I'm Craig.
And here we are.
Episode 27. How you doing, Mike?
Good, how are you?
For the next six months worth of episodes, I'm going to ask you how you're doing. Until I forget.
Okay. Thank you for that.
How are you doing? How are you doing? Please tell me you're doing better than I was yesterday.
At what point yesterday?
All day yesterday.
Because the email you sent me was from very, very early this morning, not yesterday.
Right,
because
I was still uninstalling and wiping out malware at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And how's that going for you?
It's all gone.
The malware's gone, and so are some of your system
settings. So are some of my system settings, so I'm doing all sorts of weird stuff to try to make things work here. But I can do everything that I need to do. That's the good news.
The music was working.
Yes.
Hooray!
I'm doing it via Audacity because I can't find my media player and I can't double-click on MP3s to just open them. I have to actually open the Audacity software and then open the media, open the music. But it's working. And I'm sure Kurt would like to make fun of me too, so let's bring him in. Hello, Kurt. Hello, my brother.
Sure.
My actual brother, related to me by blood.
Hey, my voice kind of sounds like that today.
So what's this song that you chose? We have an issue when we're playing music and you guys are talking, and we've noticed that on other people too. What's the music again?
Uh-oh. Hello? Where'd he go?
Find me out. Just jam out.
Okay. Say that again.
Don't mind me. I'll just jam out.
Jam out to Afternoons and Coffee Spoons.
A little love song of J. Alfred Prufrock. Why not?
J. Alfred Prufrock.
Come on, Mr. Davis. English class. Think back, buddy.
Oh, good Lord. Well, I was C.C. Ryder. He gave everybody nicknames. our English teacher. Junior and senior English teacher. I don't remember.
Who's Prufrock's a character from something.
What's that from? It's been over 20 years, Kurt.
Oh, it's a T.S. Eliot poem. Come on.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. Because he does talk about T.S. Eliot in the song Afternoons and Coffee Spoons, which is about getting old.
Yes.
It's all about how eventually your days will be measured in like sitting around in the afternoon having nothing to do and how many coffee spoons you go through because you're just sitting around having coffee. And he sings about knowing what hospitals smell like and all the wonderfulness that is getting older. Yeah. And you're not even, you're 8 years younger than me. And you I actually let him choose his song and he picked that.
Yeah. Please forgive our failing memories. We're not still in high school like some people.
Because Kurt's a music teacher.
Mm-hmm. Small town, central Wisconsin.
With a really good music program.
Yes.
From what I hear.
Very strong program. So we're very proud of what we do.
Is there like a dairy farming class?
Jeez.
There is an agriculture department, yes.
Nice.
Crap. Thanks. Thanks a lot. I wanted to make fun of Mike. Oh. I don't recall there being agriculture. I don't recall there being agriculture classes back where we went to high school.
No, there wasn't with us. But there is here. There is an ag teacher.
That's true, but. Well, we'll go ahead and just call it Peshtigo because we're going to talk about it later. The town of Peshtigo, the high school, the one and only high school, it was missing a lot of things. It was all about the football team, and you know, sports were a big thing, and academics kind of took a sideline a lot of the time. And I've already talked about
AP classes. Who needs them?
Yeah, I've talked about how the drama department, the drama club, started up the year after I graduated.
Yep.
But I have now photos of my brother in costumes and everything because Kurt did a bunch of drama stuff. did plays in high school.
Now, how far is Peshtigo from Green Bay?
45 miles.
45 miles. So like an hour.
Less than an hour.
And football was the most important thing in your high school.
Yeah. Shocker. In northeastern Wisconsin, football was really important. Anyway.
Shocker.
We'll get back around to Peshtigo. Mike.
Hi.
Corrections.
Oh, okay. Yes.
We're going to play that game because we don't want to look like complete idiots. We sometimes do look up the fact that we screwed something up.
Yeah. The last couple episodes, two episodes ago, we talked about what's happening. And we couldn't remember the name of Raj's younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was Danielle and nobody recognized that
neither
name.
One of us believed me.
including
me. And the problem was... She's listed in the Wikipedia right above Shirley, whose real name is Shirley. So I looked at Shirley, the real name, and then looked directly above that and saw Danielle Spencer, which is the actress's name.
Okay.
The character's name is D.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
So,
oops. I'm sure that was really weighing heavily on all of our listeners. Those guys don't know what the character's name was. What's happening?
Her name was Danielle. That doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right to me either, but that's what it is. No, it's not.
But
I had occasion to sit there and read the Wikipedia on what's happening. Because I think
it's technically what's happening.
What's happening,
yeah. Isn't it? Now
we
might have to correct that next week. Go ahead.
It's what's happening.
What's happening?
With two exclamation points marks.
Okay.
Whatever they are.
Anyway. Wikipedia.
High school guy, are they exclamation points or marks?
Yes. The answer is yes.
The music.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He never gives out exclamation points on tests.
Yeah, I do a lot of writing clefs. And we count to four.
You give out treble clefs?
Yes.
Whole notes.
Wow, someone had elementary music class.
Where's your tuco ding? Ding 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 ding.
Andante, largo.
What?
Exactly.
Yeah, see, somebody had high school band. So you were saying?
So it's what's happening.
Right.
No, I just thought it was interesting. Because we discussed, was it 70s or 80s? And there was some...
A bunch of that, yeah.
It's fully 70s. It ended in April... of 1979.
Okay.
76 to 79. And then What's Happening Now didn't start until 1985 and ran until 88.
Wow.
It's a huge gap in between. So the reason it got canceled was because Fred Barry, the actor who played
Rerun,
got his head a little big.
Oh, he got...
Yeah, he started making all kinds of demands.
He became the star.
Yeah. He staged one walkout, and then he staged a second walkout. And during the second walkout, the producers decided, well, you know what? Canceled.
F you.
Yeah.
Hey.
And,
where's my money?
And then he tried to do the same thing again many years later in What's Happening Now.
Jeez.
And he ended up just quitting.
Douchebag.
And then the show lost ratings after he left.
Right.
So, I mean, he was... Sort of right.
Well, he was the star.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to D and Danielle Spencer. So she finished, they canceled What's Happening.
Mm-hmm.
She went back to high school, finished high school, went to college for veterinary science. And she was only 2 years into college when What's Happening Now started, and they asked her to come back. And she did for a little while. And then eventually she went back, actually became a veterinarian, and has played a veterinarian in two movies. One of which was...
Wow, useless trivia.
As Good as It Gets. With Jack Nicholson.
She's in there. She's the vet?
She's the vet.
Oh, wow.
Because wasn't it the neighbor?
Greg Kinnear had the little fluffy dog.
Yeah,
and Jack Nicholson had to take care of it because the neighbor was gay and he got gay beaten. By a bunch of homophobes.
Gay bashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Physically. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, that's her.
Ozymandias.
Ooh.
Not the episode.
Oh.
The poem.
Oh, jeez. I was all ready to
no
be like, oh my God, best hour of television ever.
Ramses II.
Yeah.
And the poem refers to, the line is actually, "My name is Ozymandias, King of Kings. Look on my works, ye mighty, and despair."
Uh-huh.
That's the big kicker for that. And the poem is about how all, the decline of all leaders and of the empires they build, no matter how great.
Not Ramses specific.
Well, it, Ozymandias is referring to Ramses.
Okay.
Ozymandias is a name that several Greek sources use to refer to Ramses the second. So there you go.
Okay.
So I did the homework a week later.
Oh, speaking of homework.
Uh-oh.
How many people, based on the numbers you gave us, how many people extra are there on Earth every day?
I don't know. How many? What's our net increase?
27,200.
According to the
numbers that you gave us.
Yeah. And that was just off of a website. I have no fact checking on
that.
Right,
that was from the website we linked to with the facts about the Earth.
That could be way off. Who knows?
As we discovered from, was it Ray?
One of the guys wrote in and had a number that was like, yeah, 10 times that amount.
Yeah, it was
like 220,000. But he pulled stats from some other site
before
he even listened to the episode.
Completely different stats, yeah.
So, put it this way. We're breeding more than we're dying. We don't know what the number is. It's somewhere between 1 and 1 billion per day. Hey, Kurt.
Hey.
Feel free to chime in.
Well, I'm just going to sit there and let you, you know, acknowledge your stupidity from previous episodes and move on.
You're a good person.
Well, then at least laugh at us. Jeez.
I did a few times. I'm also afraid if I laugh, I'll cough.
Oh, that's true.
He laughs internally at me all the time.
Yeah. Laugh, cough, whatever you need to do to make sure we know the Skype connection is still working.
Okay. Can do. Do you make my dog speak? Speak.
Is your dog that never barks?
Never barks.
So, Kurt, you're a music dude.
Yes, I'm a music dude. I do it for a living.
You're a professional music dude.
Is that what it says on your paychecks? Music dude?
I hope so. I can get that changed.
You sign it, music dude. So what do you do?
I am a mostly high school, little bit middle school band director up here in the I'd say the Northwoods, but anyone who's from Wisconsin knows where I am is not really north.
No, the middle of the state.
Not really north.
And so what's that like?
So every day I go to school and I teach band classes and I teach lessons and I teach music theory and I keep track of way too much money and too much paperwork. And yeah, that's kind of what that's like.
Do you drink?
Do I, in school? No, I don't have that problem. I'm like, well, yeah, we won't go.
Oh, hey. Ooh.
No, I do not drink.
We're not
going
to say anything, but if you listen to all the episodes, you can piece it together.
Yeah, I know it's been brought up before. I'm one of your listener that you keep speaking of. Yeah, so do I drink? Yes, on the weekends and other such things. Yes. So what else do you want to know?
Are high schoolers just as stupid as we were now?
Oh, yes.
Nowadays,
yeah. One of my favorite things to tell them is whenever we go on a trip or something like that, and I'm going over kind of the details of expectations of behavior and stuff, I always remind them that I know what to look for because I was there and watched what happened the first time around. Because yeah, I know the trips that I went on, which weren't many, but a handful in high school. We had some interesting experiences. So I found out the easiest way to keep kids out of trouble is to keep them insanely busy and sleep deprived.
Like me, I had 4 hours last night.
Yeah, so we're just coming off homecoming week.
Ooh, and I saw that.
You're having a cold. Facebooked something. Yeah, it's been interesting. I've been sleeping a lot this weekend.
But you got up to come on the podcast.
Yes, I woke up for my brother.
So you had to prepare something for the big game.
Well, yeah, so we had a homecoming parade.
And that's right.
The parade, so we had to have a couple tunes ready for the parade, and then the game itself on the field for halftime, and of course, then just playing from the stands and all that other craziness that goes on.
So do you march in the parade?
Yes.
In like a get-up?
Yes.
In a get-up!
Like a very hot get-up that makes you sweat and pass out?
Except this Friday, a couple days ago, when all this happened, when we marched in the parade at 5 o'clock, it was about 61 degrees. And at the game at night, it was about 52. So it was perfect for wool uniforms.
Still wearing wool uniforms.
Mm. Ugh. I break those things like 8 years ago. Lay off.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there's a reason why you do wool uniforms. First of all, they stay nice. Another thing, you know, when you buy them, you have to expect that they're going to last 25 years.
Yeah, that's true. Because God knows the schools aren't going to be forking too much money over into the band department on a regular basis. At least they didn't when we went to school. All that money went to sports.
Oh, yeah.
Bitter party of me.
So tell us what your high school band experience was like, Craig.
My high school band experience was actually, I mean, all in all, it was really good. I was a good student. I was like fourth chair as my out of 10 trombonists in my first year, in my freshman year. And I just kept moving up from there. And my senior year, I had a bunch of solos and different. No, I had a solo in marching band. I had two solos in jazz band.
Yeah.
And what, played what in all the bands. I spent a lot of time learning how to play other instruments because I didn't have homework to get done. So when I had a study hall with something I didn't have any work to do, I'd go down to the band room and I taught myself to play the drums and the piano and the guitar and trumpet and a little bit. And just like just enough to be dangerous in each one, but not enough to make a living off of anything.
Yeah. Just enough to annoy your band director.
Yeah.
No, I was the same kid too. And of course, guess what? Those kids still exist.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But those are the kids you like hanging out with. So yeah.
Well, they're the ones that are interested.
Yeah, exactly. High school band experience, Mike?
Oh, we've covered this before. I was not in band, not in theater.
And you call yourself a nerd. Hey, come on. You brought up treble clefs earlier. What else? You know, speak smart about music.
Well, I went to Jesus school for K through 8. So
you sang
that's where whatever I learned from about music came from.
So you sang a lot of things that were Largo.
I don't know what that is.
Largo means slowly.
Oh, okay.
And legato.
Slurring everything together as opposed to staccato.
Uh-huh.
Which is enunciating everything.
Da, 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 da.
Yes.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of Christian hymns that go da, 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 da. So it was mostly and then you went to public school, but you never did any of the artsy stuff. Did you ever do like art classes and things?
Yeah, too? I did art.
You did that kind of stuff. Okay, so you were an art nerd, at least for a while. Come on. Just say you were. All right, there we go. Nerd cred.
I was in art club.
Oh, well, you actually went into a club. You did something that wasn't...
One or two years, yeah.
Wasn't required of you.
Correct.
It wasn't for a credit.
I believe that was the only extracurricular activity I participated in.
Wow. I didn't have much either, to be honest. I had, you know, I did all the band stuff, but that was basically a class that just turned into a lot of other stuff. Because... Yeah. You essentially did concert band, but then you did, during football season, you were also marching band, and during basketball season, you were pep band, and then you could be, you know, a small group of people were in the jazz band. And I don't think anybody ever turned down being in jazz band. You could, I suppose, if you wanted to. You just didn't want to put the time into it, because you had to come in and practice in the mornings before school for jazz band. But I did that for 4 years, too. I was heavy in band. That was about it. Yeah, I did sports stuff like in junior high, but that all crapped out when I realized I could get a part-time job and earn money and have a social life and a girlfriend and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you just lost your nerd cred with that last one.
Well, I had a girlfriend 20 years ago.
Yeah. Back when I was cool and I was 14.
Just thinking of pictures of me at 14. No, not really.
Would you ride her around on the handlebars of your bike?
I had a two-tone, the second car in the family was a two-tone blue Ford Fairmont, 77, I believe.
The tank.
The tank that I drove to see my girlfriend.
You told me once that you could fit 9 people in there if you really tried.
We did. kind of comfortably. And everybody was in the car. Nobody was hanging out the windows.
Was there anyone in the trunk?
No, everybody's in the front back seat. We had 4 people in the front seat, and I was still able to drive, and we had 5 people stuffed into the back seat.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
With no windows open. They're not listening to this.
Yeah, I know.
You were in a crap ton of band in high school as well.
Oh, yeah. I did the whole thing.
You were about, you know, as much as I was, even more so.
Yeah, I was the one who was practicing for auditions for state honors and all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
I was that kid.
Yeah, I came to a certain point where I just stopped doing all that solo and ensemble competition-y stuff, other than the stuff that the whole band had to do. I didn't do, you know, solo stuff. I just didn't want to. I was doing enough other stuff in the band room, learning other instruments.
Learning other instruments, having a part-time job and having a girlfriend, right?
Yeah, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
I can vouch for it. He's not lying.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks.
I was there. Yeah. Not lying. Just so the listener knows, you know,
he really
the other listener besides me.
Yeah. So back to you and music.
Yeah.
You've turned into kind of
a professional music nerd.
Yeah, yes. But also now kind of an elitist vinyl snob.
Yes, I'm sitting right now talking to you via Skype, and looking to my right, there is my vinyl collection.
How many pieces?
Right now, a little over 200, and that's in like a year and a half, 2 years.
Okay, yeah, because it wasn't that big when I was over there. Kids out there, vinyl is what music used to come on back before the 8-track, which was before the cassette tape, which was before the CD.
Which is before the MP3.
Right.
Imagine if you had a CD that was really big and black, and you scratched it with a needle to make noise.
That's racist. Big and black.
Oh, wow.
Well, and before that, it was just the big cylinder, the big wax cylinder.
I was going to say before that, it was the.
And then before that, you had to sing old-timey music live.
You had to hang around the piano and play it.
Yeah. Or, well, yeah, player pianos. That was sort of pre-recorded music.
Sure.
Which was...
So, what's...
That's like the music version of computers with punch cards.
Kinda. What's with the vinyl thing yet lately now? You just digging on... I mean, is it just a collection thing, or are you digging on the sound? Because
it's a little bit of both. I told someone once I blame Mark Maron.
Mark Maron.
It's about the same time that he started doing the whole vinyl thing that I'm like, I should do that too.
He's like a comedian slash he's got a podcast.
I didn't know if we could talk about another podcast on your podcast.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. We can talk about Mark Maron. He's a good guy. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's kind of a cynical, he's always almost an asshole.
Yeah.
He's just this side of being a douchebag all the time. but he does a podcast and he interviews people and kind of a very wide variety of people. I listen to his podcast now and then.
Yeah, so I had an opportunity. I was just randomly at a garage sale and there was a record player sitting there for dirt cheap that looked like it was actually going to, you know, work.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, I should pick that up. And then I picked it up and I'm like, okay, now I need stuff to play on it. And yeah, you know how that works.
You get a few and then you get a few more.
Yeah. And then I get obsessed with, I need to get every album that Chicago has ever released.
Chicago!
I'm almost there.
So you got what, like 27 albums?
Pretty close. I wouldn't say, I'm in the low 20s right now. I've got
Chicago has a lot of albums. Aren't they all numbered?
Oh, yeah.
That's all their numbers were just Chicago 1, Chicago 2.
Yeah, except for there's one they called Hot Streets, but then they skipped 14 and just went to 15. I think that was the record label telling them they had to be cool in the 80s.
Chicago albums. Wow. Okay, yeah. So what else do you listen to, especially on the vinyl?
On the vinyl? See, that's where I go back and I look for the old stuff. So let's see how nerdy I can get here. I've got a couple Traffic albums.
Traffic. I don't even know that name.
No, me neither.
It's early 70s. It was like after Steve Winwood left the Spencer Davis group.
I don't even know that Steve Winwood was in the Spencer. I know who Steve Winwood is.
I've never even heard of the Spencer Davis group.
Spencer Davis group was when he was a teenager and he was singing Give Me Some Lovin'.
Jeez. Okay, well, that's fine. That's why we got the music nerd on.
He was totally like 15 years old when he recorded that song. Go back and listen to him sing and realize that's a 15-year-old singing. It is the most frightening thing in the world.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of dig on the early 70s stuff, a lot of it. I've got, and then, you know, the obscure, as a band nerd, I've got to be all about Chase because of their horn section. And let's see, I'm looking here. Early Jay Giles band.
Okay.
Oh, I've heard of them.
You know, Mott the Hoople, we get into glam rock stuff. Yeah, I've got a few more recent things on vinyl that I picked up because, you know, of the hipster revolution, I can do that now.
Sure, there are bands that are putting out stuff on vinyl because the hipsters will buy
all the indie bands on the indie labels are making sure that all their stuff's available on vinyl so that all their hipster fans can play
it. It's really fun to go to a record store looking like me, you know, where I'm 30-something teacher, and I keep myself pretty clean cut, and I'm hanging around with all the hipsters digging through the vinyl at like Reckless Records in Chicago.
you should go and like get big black glasses and wear a scarf and skinny jeans in August in Wisconsin.
Gray skinny jeans.
Yeah.
August in Wisconsin, exactly.
Converse. Yeah. Converse cloth shoes.
A knit cap.
How many other bad things can I have?
Tattoos. Oh, and I have lots of tattoos.
And an a-hole attitude about how you were into something before somebody else was.
I do have credit.
Gotta have one of those.
This is a good one. I love to say this. I was into Bon Iver before it was cool.
Who?
Now, do you know who Bon Iver is?
No. Man.
Watch the Grammys anymore.
I didn't watch the Grammys ever.
A couple of years ago, it was a big hipster indie thing, right?
Okay.
Bon Iver is a Wisconsin musician, Justin Vernon, who puts out this album and it blows up. And they even made fun of, you know, he was on Saturday Night Live shortly before the Grammys when he won Best New Artist and all that stuff. And then like the next week, Justin Timberlake did his impression of him as part of a sketch, which was spot on and hilarious. Anyone has a chance, find that sketch. It was when Beyonce and Jay-Z had their kid. And they did a sketch about all their musician friends coming to visit them to congratulate them.
Okay.
Justin Timberlake plays the best hipster Bon Iver ever.
Okay. I know who he's talking about now. Oh. It's spelled Bon Iver.
It's pretty. Yeah.
And that's all I know about it.
Him. Yeah,
it's a him, not an it.
It's a dude. The band is kind of like how Nine Inch Nails is a band, but it's really Trent Reznor.
Oh, okay.
Right. Because I heard people talking to just recently because Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails just put something out.
Yeah, they're out on tour again here.
And I heard somebody on the radio talking about...
By they, we mean he.
Right. Yes. And I heard somebody on the radio talking about them. They have a new album. And I'm like, wait a minute. Did my college experience lie to me? Because when I got to college and discovered Nine Inch Nails, I was told that that was essentially Trent Reznor and that he had studio musicians and touring musicians. And that would kind of, sometimes the same people and he'd shift things around. And, he, you know, as his sound changed, as he did different things, he would bring different people in.
Yeah.
But it was essentially him. But they were using the word they.
Or Trent Reznor is so cool that he's referred to in the, you know.
It's the royal third person.
Yeah.
They, like when, you know, people tell you. You know, they all told me, blah, blah, blah. Well, who's they?
Who's they? Yeah. Well, Trent Reznor.
But anyway, I went to school with the guy.
Trent Reznor?
With Bon Iver, Justin Vernon.
Okay.
And he's from Eau Claire, and that's where I went to college. And I was watching his band back in the day when I was in college, like two bands before Bon Iver. So that's when he won the album, the first thing I would tell people, when he won the Grammy, I mean, first thing I'd tell him is, I was into Bon Iver before it was cool. And then people would just stare at me blankly.
Because it's like two steps back. Gotcha. All right. That was a big roundabout to that joke, but I get it now. That's why you said it twice.
Oh, yeah. I need to pace myself here. So what else? Oh, I've collected all the Carlin records. I'm very proud of that.
So comedy too.
I can be all stand-up nerd-like. Well, if Doug Stanhope put stuff on vinyl, I'd probably collect his too.
Well, I listen to Doug Stanhope, even though he doesn't put it on a vinyl. I just listen to him.
Yeah.
Every so often I check to see if he's going to come down to Atlanta, and I never see him.
This is hilarious. I'm going to see him in a couple weeks in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yes. Playing Stevens Point, Wisconsin. When's the last time he was in Atlanta?
It's a college town, though. Stevens Point is...
Kind of,
its whole reason for existence is it's a college town, so I can see Stanhope getting there. Whereas, like, I don't know, you know. Stanhope gets up on stage and does a bit about how, you know, he and his wife had an abortion and he turns it into a 10-minute joke and how he hates the, you know, patriotism. Well, not really patriotism, but how he hates, you know, just bandwagon jumping patriotism and how we call ourselves Americans just because we live in America. No, we're people. That's his whole shtick. It's like you identify yourself as who you are, not where you're from. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, that'll fly in the South. I don't know that he makes it to too many Southern cities other than ones that have like where he can get a big college crowd.
I don't know if Mike has his bleep button ready, but the real reason he's out and he's hitting like all these weird towns is because he's bilking it as his shit town comedy tour. He's got like Erie, Pennsylvania, and Muncie, Indiana.
Muncie.
All these terrible, weird towns in the middle of the country. And Stevens Point is one of them. So, yeah.
All right. Cool.
Stevens Point.
Yes.
Speaking of.
Didn't you guys, both of you were in that trivia contest?
Well, you were too.
Yeah, but once
or twice. A couple of times.
Not as many times as you guys.
It's the world's largest
trivia. You guys.
The world's largest trivia
contest. Is there an echo in here?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah, so that's Stevens Point claim to fame, that they have this big contest that involves more people than the population of the town.
Yeah, that's true. More people participate in that thing than live in the town.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And it's 54 hours. It's been a while. I was forgetting the number. 54 hours straight from Friday evening to Sunday night. 8 questions an hour minimum for 54 hours.
Yeah.
That's a long weekend. I've done it quite a few times.
It's an interesting experience obviously the listener doesn't know that, it's a huge contest. It's a fundraiser for the campus radio station. They usually get 400 to 500 teams and tens of thousands of people participating, and they run it over the radio station where they give you a question, the most obscure thing you could possibly find.
They're not easy questions. No, they're not questions easy that anyone would just know off the top of their head.
No, it's a research.
Typically, no.
Yeah.
So, and then you get 2 songs on the radio to call in your answer and get it in before they're done, and they read the answer and they go on to the next. And you do this for 54 hours straight. usually involving lots of caffeine and some alcohol.
Yeah, maybe 6 or 8 hours of sleep the whole time. That's about how much I got. It was about 2 4-hour stints each time I would do it.
Power naps.
Not even that. It just, no. Yeah. 4 hours sleep, 20 hours up.
Because, who doesn't want to sit around a radio feed and answer questions for 54 hours straight on a weekend?
And the fun part was, though, every so often, somebody on the team would know the answer right off the top of their head.
Yeah.
And that was awesome.
Yeah.
It's like somebody would pull something out of their butt. Or, occasionally they would have easy questions as well, relatively easy ones, just so, I guess, so every team can get points.
Well, they're the ones... There are the questions getting back to music, where they play a snippet of music and it's literally like a half a second.
They do they do a music snippet thing where they give
And those
you,
are
like,
the ones that people will go, "Ooh, I know that."
Yeah, that'll happen. But it'll be like 8 snippets of music all strung together right on top of each other, and each snippet is like 1 to 2 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to identify the exact title and artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get, somebody's remake. They're sticklers. You have to have, it has to be the actual artist who did it. It can't be the person who covered it 7 years later. And they do a bunch of things where they put photos up and you've got like a week to research them, try to figure out where these photos are from. And it's usually
those are crazy
obscure
hard
board games that are been out of print for 40 years.
Right.
It's like some game piece from the game. It's just nuts. And then, the point system is based on the number of people who get it right. The more people that get it right, the less points it's worth.
And then isn't there also a scavenger hunt?
Yeah, that's kind of a tradition thing. I don't think it's like, as long as you send people out there and you don't completely F it up, everybody gets a couple hundred points or something.
Okay.
But I played like live up there, and then I played remotely with people after I moved down here. And that's how you played, Mike, a couple times, where once over at Matthews and once at my place, where we just all sat around our computer and we networked in with you guys up there because we were on the same team, Kurt.
Yay!
how's Robot House doing?
Robot House is...
That's our team.
Temporarily suspended, probably.
No.
Yeah, we didn't play this last year as a team for a variety of reasons, but we'll see. I'll try to get the team back together again in the spring. I played. I went and found other people to play with.
Okay.
So it was cool.
Yeah, because I think some of the core members moved, myself included.
Yes.
years ago, but I managed to keep the satellite group down here for a few years. And then I know, what's his name? I'm blanking. Kevin.
Kevin and Rachel moved.
They were the core. I mean, they were where we played up there. They moved to Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Sassage.
I was thinking that. That's so
I just
sad.
Saw him last weekend.
So, yeah. If you're ever so inclined to, you know, just find somebody to get some people together and go play. You can even play the trivia contest remotely if you want to, if you don't mind dealing with having to, because you have to phone the answer in, so you have to call in from, you know, long distance or whatever, from far away. You have to make sure that you've got whatever you need in place to be able to do that kind of stuff and then listen to the contest online. You don't have to be within the radio station's service area. Or you can just listen, and it's whatever, April. The date varies, but it's in April every year.
Yeah, it moves around based on, it stays away from Easter, so.
Right.
Well, yeah, because otherwise cause then people would have to go to church in the morning and miss those hours.
On Sunday, you'd have to miss an hour and a half. 12 possible answers.
All the point values start going up.
For the atheists. Suddenly only the atheists hanging around getting lots of points. Oh,
can't have the contest screwing up Easter, because then it would be the devil's work.
Yeah, it's pretty hellish anyway. It's a long weekend. It's like the longest, you know, like when I get done with that, I would be more exhausted than when I got done doing 4 days of Gen Con, because I would get more sleep at Gen Con. And I wouldn't always be on. Like when you're doing that contest, if you're really playing and you're really going for it, you're like on point, looking for answers all the time.
Well, the thing that
once in a while you get an easy one where you can take a breather for 4 minutes between questions. But usually you're looking, you're talking. People are checking books. They're checking online. They're looking through their resources. They're calling people that they think might know the answer.
The thing it makes me think of is architecture school and you know, big.
Oh,
end of semester.
Pulling all-nighters.
I never stayed up that long doing in architecture school. No. Like, why would I do that for this trivia contest?
I did it. A small, tiny trophy.
As opposed to a degree.
That allows me to earn more money, make a better life for myself. I did the all-nighter.
You know, relatively speaking.
Right.
Than if you were working fast food, maybe.
Yeah. I did the all-nighter in in college one time. And decided that sucked. And then I made sure to get my crap done by midnight the day before the thing was due. And I never pulled another all-nighter. And everybody would be like, you're not going to be here all night? It's like, hell no. I got my work. I take care of business. Yeah. I got my work done.
But in architecture.
Remember how I was here?
No, Craig, in architecture, you're never done designing.
True enough. No work of art is ever finished, only abandoned. It's true.
It sounds like a professor.
No, that's what they would tell you. You're not working an all-nighter. What's wrong with you? You fail. You should work an all-nighter, but I'm already done. But no, you can't be done. You're never done. You should redesign it all over again tonight. And then redo all of your boards and all of your models.
Screw you.
Yeah, that's why when I got my degree, I said, see ya. And by see ya, I mean, nope, not seeing ya.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get a paycheck now.
Yeah. No, I'm not a fan of that. No, if it's just why would you? And but anyway, the
so what you're saying is that this is much more fun than architecture school.
Yes. But the no work of art is ever finished, only abandoned. That's paraphrasing or slightly rephrasing or something, but that's a Da Vinci quote.
Yeah.
I believe. Of course I'll be wrong now that I've said that. But good for some
him.
Great artist said that.
What
can sit there and tinker and tinker and tinker and tinker and tinker.
What did he get out of that fame after he died? Great. Good for him.
Well, we should have a whole, we should, you know, and I'm not prepared to do it, but sometime we should talk about Da Vinci because he was an interesting character. I mean, he wasn't just an artist, he was an inventor. He came up with a lot of stuff that we see now, that his mind came up with it and he actually tried to work it out. But we'll save that sometime.
Okay. Also a book named after him with a movie with Tom Hanks in it.
And it's a very accurate book too.
that Jim hates. Well, it's got a country called Italy. That's true, as Jim said.
I'm pretty sure there was a man named Da Vinci, right?
Yeah. He was real.
Write the book.
I don't think they were in Italy in that book. I think you're thinking of Angels and Demons.
I haven't read either one of them. I did see the first movie.
Da Vinci Code was England and France.
I don't care. I don't.
whatever.
I saw the movie. I was like, oh, okay. So this is the big deal, huh? Oh, there's the albino guy. All right. And then I went on and, you know, watched a zombie movie or something and had a better time.
Craig reviews Dan Brown's works on Nerdburger. whatever.
Tom Hanks runs around. The end.
Yeah. And there's a creepy bald guy. Or a creepy albino.
Isn't that redundant?
Yeah.
Ooh, hey.
Hey-o. Well, we could do the Cliffs Notes version.
The views expressed by the guests of Nerdburger are not those of Nerdburger or Nerdburger's owners.
We could do the Cliffs Notes versions of books. I mean, that was kind of the Da Vinci Code Cliff Note, the super quick Cliff Notes, the super quick Hamlet. Hamlet sees the ghost of his dead father and everybody dies. That's the whole story.
Yeah.
The Bible.
No, let's not
God,
go there.
God creates man, the universe, and everything. Everything man does pisses God off. I just read these somewhere years ago, and they stuck in my head. Yeah, and then everyone dies. Well, if Revelation most is to be believed, yes.
Some of them go to heaven, most of them go to hell.
Unless you're a different religion, in which case you end up in a limbo or maybe some other place. or maybe you're just dirt.
Or a different denomination.
Right, even within. Anyway, no science, no politics, no religion. let's talk about thousands of people dying.
Whoa!
Well, on a happy note.
Hey, Denny. He's up and moving. The dog. Oh, my goodness, he made a noise.
Did he?
He shook himself.
Oh, he didn't make a noise with his vocal cords.
With his throat.
Which may or may not exist.
Right. Kurt, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Peshtigo, Wisconsin.
That means that's where I grew up, too. And what's Peshtigo famous for?
Besides the two of you.
Well, besides the two of us.
Besides the thing in that game.
Right, besides it being nuked by the French and 3% of realities in the Gamma World
Gamma
game.
Gamma World, thank you.
Peshtigo is famous for having burned down once.
In 1871. On October 8th, 1871.
Oh, coming up on the anniversary here.
Ooh.
Yeah, they have a festival. It lasts one whole day.
Well,
you do it in September because the weather's nicer.
Yeah, true. And you can't really have, I mean, having a week-long festival to celebrate the death of 2,500 people, that's a little gauche, right? That's a little, little dicey.
I think they should have barbecues every night.
Oh, <geez. laughs>
Now, Mike.
Barbecued chicken, yum.
Well, barbecued anything.
Barbecued pork, beef.
3-day-old human. Turkey.
Human, barbecued human. There we go. Back to the cannibalism thing from, I don't know, 7 or 8 episodes ago. Mm-hmm. Mike, do you know what else happened on October 8th, 1871?
The Chicago fire.
Yes. And Chicago stole all the press, so nobody knows about the Peshtigo fire.
Well, there wasn't any sausage in Peshtigo that was being threatened, so...
Please. That town was full of Germans and Poles. There was tons of sausage.
Some might say it was a sausage fest.
Okay. But to do a little history, and this would be like learning.
Oh.
Today we're going to learn about the Great Peshtigo Fire. And the noteworthy bit about that is it's the largest fire, the most destructive fire in terms of deaths in the history of the United States.
But not property, because there was virtually none.
Well, it was just, it was a lot of little tiny towns, but it you know, estimates, and that's the thing, is it's only estimated because it was so big.
Yeah.
Estimates falling between 1,500 and 2,500 people died in that fire.
Wow.
Only a few hundred people died in Chicago, but it was Chicago, so it got all the coverage. I'm convinced that if... the Chicago fire had not happened that night, that Peshtigo fire would be known throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
It would be something that everybody would hear about at some point.
That was one busy cow setting fires in two places, you know, hundreds of miles apart.
Technically, there was also a fire. Where did I have it here? There were other fires that night. There was a fire in Holland and Manistee, Michigan, the same night. There was a forest fire. And in Port Huron. These are all right around the Great Lakes.
That's one magical fire breathing cow. It's like it's like the fire breathing Santa of cows.
I'm burning. And that's the end of Nerdburger Theater. Nerdburger Radio Theater. Our first production.
And
scene. Episode title. But yeah, they and so there's a lot of speculation about, well, geez, it's awfully odd that there's these four big fires all kind of on a globally speaking, kind of the same area. And so, you know, while a lot of people think that the Peshtigo fire, there's the story with the Chicago fire that it was Mrs. O'Leary's cow. That almost certainly is not true. The Peshtigo fire, you know, a lot of the story goes that it was.
Next, you're going to tell me Santa's not real.
Santa's not real. We talked about that like many episodes ago. But that Peshtigo fire began with, you know, just spontaneous combustion. It had been a very dry summer. Some stuff kind of got piled up. Some tinder got a bunch of other stuff piled on it. It got really hot down there.
Damn tinder always causing fires.
Something sparked and off it went.
I say we outlaw tinder.
F you, tinder.
The government should come in
but
and
there's,
regulate tinder.
There's some people that believe that there was a comet that... Seriously.
Skipped off the atmosphere.
No, this one that it
created
broke,
friction.
Some pieces broke and fell. You know, a piece broke and it came into the atmosphere and it broke into a few other pieces, and those pieces caught fire in the atmosphere and they hit in those places, mm-hmm. and then went up. But there's, you know, there's not a lot of great comet records from 1871.
Really?
Yeah, surprise. But this is the thing, you know, so maybe that's what happened. But the thing that really amazes me about this is that there were eyewitnesses. There were people that survived it. And there are accounts of people, and maybe they were exaggerating a bit, because it's kind of hard to just judge a distance looking up. But people are talking about a fire that was a mile high.
Cool.
In places. Okay, so even if you overestimated that by twice, still, that's a fire that's a half a mile high.
Wow, that's like Denver being on fire.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of fire. And the story goes that the glow of the flames in the Peshtigo fire could be seen from Chicago, a couple hundred miles to the south. That's a fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's a no joking around fire. Here's the fun. Here's another fun part. It burned the following counties, parts of the following counties: Marinette, Oconal, Brown, Kewaunee, and Door counties in Wisconsin. And also Menominee.
Wait,
and
Door County. Hold you mean on. Across all that water?
Hold on. Jumping the route. And also Menominee and Delta counties in Upper Michigan. But if you go down from Marinette County, now you're at the Bay of Green Bay,
mm-hmm.
Where Wisconsin looks like a glove. It's got the thumb sticking out into Lake Michigan.
Right, it's that space between the thumb and the
right.
Hand
the Bay
the
of Green
finger.
Bay is that mm-hmm. space between there. Marinette County going down goes to Oconal County, goes to Brown County, comes back up around to Door and Kewaunee counties. They're connected, but if you look at the area that was burned, they're not connected.
It doesn't go all the way.
It
down
doesn't.
To the...
It didn't go through Green Bay, the
right.
city of Green Bay.
There
it went down close, and then it was on the other side of the bay. So, yeah. It jumped over the water. Branches caught fire, stayed on fire, and were caught by updrafts and carried over the Bay of Green Bay and deposited on the Door County Peninsula and burned a big chunk of stuff over there.
Not in an insignificant distance.
It jumped over the Peshtigo River as well, but this is a much bigger body of water.
Visible from space kind of body of water.
Yes, it's very noticeable. So they said 1,500 to 250 deaths estimated. There's a mass grave in Peshtigo of 350 people that could not be identified because no one else survived with them.
Mm-hmm.
No one else survived. No one that was related to them survived to be able to identify them or even given an attempt. How big?
The DNA testing in 1871 wasn't quite up to snuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
CSI patch to go.
Let's play the game show. Let's play the Price is Right number game show. Guess the number without going over.
Okay.
And this is really just basing it off of what I found on Wikipedia. Again, there's a little bit of speculation about exactly how big the fire was, but this is like my best
guess. So one of our regular guests will email us with completely different figures that you got from somewhere else.
But it'll be in the same general vicinity.
Okay.
Number of square miles burned. I'm going to say it's over 500.
You know the answer, though.
Yes, but okay. Just giving you, you know, it's not like 200 square miles. It's over 500 square miles. Give it a guess, Mike.
Okay. Square miles. I'm going to say 2,200.
2,200. Kurt?
I think he's actually pretty close. I want to say it's around 2,000.
Okay, well, you both overbid.
Okay.
But not by a terrible amount. 1,875 square miles.
Okay.
That's bigger than Rhode Island.
Yeah.
The fire was. So, there. Enjoy that.
Rhode Island. Are you suggesting that we burn down Rhode Island?
No. Well.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But, yeah, there you go. A little bit of history. That's what happened in Peshtigo, Wisconsin, my hometown, my brother Kurt's hometown, back in 1871. But Chicago bastards stole all the news. Everybody knows. But
that's okay.
Everybody knows about the cow. The cow kicked over the lantern.
It's okay, Craig. We're getting them back now through football.
That's true. We're crushing them. Bears suck.
We have Aaron Rodgers and they have Jay Cutler.
We have Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre over the course of the past 20 years. And they
Chicago
have,
has like, what, 48 quarterbacks?
Something like that. They change quarterbacks faster than people change their socks.
Suck it, Bears fans.
That was always a lot of fun, though. Not so much lately, we haven't seen it, but there was like during some of the Favre years where we'd say, you know, Favre for all these years, one starter, and then they'd bring up the list of all the starters.
And it would fill the screen.
Yeah, it'd be a list of 20 names.
They'd have to scroll.
How many quarterbacks the Bears had in that same amount of time. Oh, yeah.
And then they settled on Cutler.
Cut and Runler?
Yeah. With his pink cheerleader skirt.
Well, now you're going to have to find that and put it on the website.
What do you mean have to find that? I've got that saved on my computer. Okay, multiple resolutions and sizes.
Okay.
Do you have him sitting on the sideline with the pouty face like he always has the pouty face?
I'm sure.
I'm sure there's a million of them out there. You bring up Peshtigo Chicago Fire. I always like when I talk to people about Peshtigo and Chicago Fire, and then I tell them about the saddest man in the history of ever. Was named William Ogden. He was a Chicago businessman. During the fires, he was in Chicago. He's a Chicago businessman. His house burns. Several of his businesses burn. He's wiped out in Chicago. And then the next day he gets the message that, oh yeah, by the way, Peshtigo, the town that you own, has also burned.
Oh, jeez.
There's an Ogden Street in both cities.
True. There is an Ogden Street.
In both cities. And that's William Ogden, who went from multimillionaire to, yeah. The saddest man in the history of ever.
Wow. I had no idea. But now I know.
That'll teach you to not buy insurance.
I got nerd
anything you own.
Yeah.
Learning with Kurt.
No, I'm not going to play that like that.
No, I wasn't asking. I was just,
oh, that's fine.
I was playing my head.
The only musical instrument you know.
That's right.
Well, that's not true. You toot now and then.
Oh, hey.
Hey-o. Yeah.
Also, there's a guitar right here.
Oh, okay. How come I've never seen you play it in the nearly 10 years that I've known you the 7 years that I've spent being a very close friend of yours and seeing you on a very regular basis?
Well, one reason would be that because it's been so long since I played it that the calluses on my fingers are completely gone.
So if you start playing it, I will insist that you keep playing it until your fingers bleed.
Yeah.
Because you don't have calluses.
There will be much complaining and whining from me if I have to play it. Oh, my fingertips hurt.
Kurt, can you teach guitar?
Oh, I'm a terrible guitar player.
But can you teach it?
Sure, I can make stuff up.
Okay. Next time you're down here, you're going to give Mike a guitar lesson.
And I'll make him play till his fingers bleed.
Okay. Sure. And we'll record it. Put it on the podcast.
Well, we'll record my protests and complaints and whining, but we won't
record you crying when your fingers are bleeding.
No, we'll record that. We just won't record the output of my guitar.
Oh,
well, no one will want to hear that.
That's boring.
I'm pretty sure you would lose all your subscribers if we tried to do that.
We have subscribers.
What?
Yeah, I think we probably have about you know, 25 listeners or so.
Me.
Well, you are a good listener. You are, I know you listen regularly.
Yes.
It sounds like you've been keeping up.
Does anybody else up there that you know listen?
I had one friend who is on it. I got him on it, although I haven't talked to him about it in the past month or so, so maybe he quit. But if not, hi, Rusty.
hey, Rusty. Hope you're listening to the show. You're getting a shout out. There hasn't been too many of those.
This one's for you, Rusty.
Yes. This episode we dedicate not to the memory of, but to Rusty, not. To our wonderful listener, Rusty. So what's up now? That covers Peshtigo.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. That's
Do you guys want to try to convince me?
Sure.
Want to talk some of that news? So is this kind of news?
It's newsy. Dateline, Cupertino, California.
Cupertino. I know what that is.
What's that, Craig?
That's Apple Land.
That's right. New iPhones.
Ooh. And now we have Kurt on the phone, who is...
No, we have Kurt on the pad.
Yes, that's true. Whoa!
There's your episode title. Thanks.
Okay. But Kurt, you have an iPhone.
Yes.
And an iPad.
Yes. Do you love your iPhone?
Yes, I'm in love with my iPhone. My iPhone is wonderful. I'm with Mike.
Okay, so let's hear what's up.
I can hear your hypno stare coming through the headphones.
Send the ghost of Steve Jobs down to convince you in the middle of the night. We're going to make this like the Christmas Carol.
All hail the hypno Steve. Stop doing the spiral thing with your fingers. He's doing the never-ending spiral thing with his fingers in front of me. Now we're going to have to make a video of that so people can see what that looked like. You pantomime too much. Ooh, see,
yeah, that's how it looks. Yeah, and you know what? Every time I do it, you describe what I'm doing, monkey. Yeah.
Description monkey.
Describe, monkey, describe.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Since you're in such an agreeing mood, get an iPhone, monkey, get an iPhone.
How about, let's not go into a ton of detail, but, and I'm sure the people who are interested already have listened. This is, you know, the iPhone stuff came out a little while back, the news. And what's, you know, for you guys' money, what's the cool factors on this next round of iPhones? What are the, you know, two or three things that are making you go, oh, baby?
Well, the Touch ID fingerprint scanner.
See, I'm not a fan of that. Putting my fingerprint up there with Big Boy.
You're not putting it up there.
Yeah.
It stays in your phone.
Yeah, it's going to be in my phone, and then somebody's going to find a way to hack that or pull that or do something.
Yeah, because the NSA never pulls anything from iPhones, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. They're certainly pulling something from your iPhone right now as we're recording.
Yeah.
Because I said NSA.
Yes, because they heard
NSA.
Because they're listening. Mike has pointed out they're listening to us. They're listening to the podcast right now as we're recording.
Yeah. Allahu Akbar.
Whoa.
Now they're definitely listening. Craig looks on. Craig
no,
looks
no, no, Mo. Craig? Who's Craig? I'm James. I came down from Norfolk, Virginia, where I am a captain in the United States Army.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm a good patriot. And
wow.
I'm not a... Jeez, what are you trying to do?
What are you trying to do? You just got somebody, like, clearance blown.
No, I didn't. Nobody's listening to this podcast. Kurt's on the podcast, and he's not listening to it right now.
What?
Kurt, are you there?
So anyway, iPhone.
Yeah. It doesn't save your fingerprint. Right, right. It saves, you know, it's all encrypted, and mm-hmm. It's like... a map of what your fingerprint looks like to a computer. It's right. Not an image of your fingerprint.
Right.
Like so even if they could get in there and suck it out of this special... what are you looking at me like that when I say suck? Suck it out.
You know your audience. You know what I'm going to react to. You didn't have to say that word. So it's not actually your fingerprint. But it's a neat little security feature. Keep somebody who have stolen your phone from just being able to unlock it and go in there and take all your stuff.
It's a heck of a lot more secure than having a 4-digit passcode or none, which most people do because, you know, I have to type it in again.
I don't do anything. There's nothing.
You don't lock your phone? What do you mean there's nothing on your phone? There's all kinds of information on your phone.
But is there any information that's going to like kill my credit card? My credit rating? I don't order anything through my phone. Okay. I don't do any secure number passage of any information about me. It's okay. Got my name in it.
Yeah, so your touchscreen smartphone with all those apps and all that computing power, you use it for what now?
It's a phone.
I
browse the internet, but I don't buy anything.
Okay.
No, I do that stuff through my secure computer. Why?
So you've never found yourself in a situation where you've been away from your house and your computer and you've needed to purchase something. You have not used your phone?
No.
Okay. Is that because you don't trust the technology in general or because you know you have an Android?
No, it's because I know if I'm going to order something, I just do it at my laptop at home where everything's secure.
All right. Where everything's possibly a little bit more secure or at least within your comfort zone.
Right. I don't go running around like, you know, I'm walking down the street. Oh, I should, you know, order a pizza for tonight. And I'll, you know, suddenly, you know, dial up Papa John's or, you know, online and order a pizza. I don't do that. I just order, you know.
Well, that's probably a good idea, being that you have an Android.
Regardless.
No. I'm not bashing for the sake of bashing. I mean, if I wanted to do that, I would have done that about your computer.
All right.
But Androids have just crazy amounts of malware. I mean, you could be being tracked by somebody that would want to steal your financial information and rob you blind.
Good. There's none of it on there. And I don't ever plan to put any of it on there. I'm not putting my financial information on more than one thing that I can control.
Okay.
No, why? Why would you do that? And on top of it, you end up with a situation like what happened last night at Ray's. I'm going to tell this little story very quickly. We're sitting around. We played D&D all day. I had a game in the afternoon. Ray ran one in the evening. We're in the middle of Ray's game. Suddenly, everybody who's supposed to be there is there. Ray's wife is gone with their little girl. They're over at the mom's house at the grandma's. Suddenly, there's a knock at the door. Ray goes over there. It's the pizza dude. Because Ray's wife ordered a pizza from her phone. Mm-hmm. And the phone tells the pizza place where you need to deliver to.
Yeah.
She wasn't at the house. She was at mom's house.
Oh.
So there's nobody here what ordered pizza. My wife used the phone.
Are you describing a porn?
No.
Did anyone here order a pizza?
I'm pointing out how it's easy to forget that your phone is just hooked into your life. And so why would I put information in there that it could be, sir. Right. No, sir. I don't trust that. I don't trust that piece of electronics that much. Anyway, beyond the little, we're trying to do iPhone stuff. We really are. Beyond the fingerprinty thing. What else? I mean, it's plastic.
Well, aside, what?
It's plastic now.
One of them is.
One of them, right. But with a steel.
The one you would want to get
frame.
Is not plastic.
Right.
Because you're a professional and you can afford to buy the real iPhone.
Okay. Yeah.
Not the one that's designed to be sold to college kids and high schoolers. Okay.
Well, Siri has a dude voice now, right?
That's right.
I feel uncomfortable swearing at Siri when it's a girl, so that'll be nice.
Wow. I hadn't thought of it from that angle. But yeah,
Damn it, Siri.
You stupid bitch.
Whoa.
Hey, I'm quoting Walter White.
Jeez.
No, there's a women's voice in them and a man's voice, and they're a little bit more realistic, less computerized.
Sure. Yeah, I heard they
less robot sounding.
Fix that up a little bit. How long till they get like celebrities to sell their voices into Siri? They could do Ebert's right now, Roger Ebert, because they've got a whole program set up for him to be able to talk because he's talked so much in the past. They just, you know about that, right?
Yeah, and stop referring to him in the present tense because he's dead.
Oh, that's right. Well, just not terribly long ago. No. But he had a whole voice synthesizer that sounded like him.
Yeah, provided they didn't cremate it with him, they can surely input whatever they want and have it sound like him talking.
Yeah. So I get to swear at Ebert.
provided his estate, you know, sells it to Apple.
Damn it, Ebert!
Tell me about why you like that movie again.
if they ever put Ebert's voice into the iPhone, they got to make sure that it does like link up with all of his movie reviews. Like that has to be in there. You have to be able to get Roger Ebert reviews for any movie that you want to go see for the decades that he was reviewing.
2.5 stars, my ass. You so stupid bitch.
If you ask Ebert Siri what the best film of all time is, does it say Beyond the Valley of the Dolls? Oh. Kind of like how if you badmouth Microsoft to Siri, there's usually some sort of funny retort.
Right.
Oh. That would almost be a reason to get an iPhone alone is just to see what you could kind of funny stuff you could get Siri to
say.
Well,
you know what? If you jailbreak it, you probably could get something along those lines.
I saw something online where somebody had a whole little conversation. It was the screen capture of a conversation with Siri where they were basically asking Siri if Siri works for the NSA.
Yeah.
And it just devolved into like every answer she gave, they went through like the NSA and CIA and are you listening into my conversations and asked like all of those, like basically, are you spying on me questions? Are you part of one of the three big letter agencies? And every Siri answer was misdirecting, was like exactly the type of thing that you would think the NSA or CIA or whatever would say in a cliche kind of way. Right.
It'd be deflect.
Like, I can't answer that question. I don't know what you're talking about. It was all stuff like that. Clearly, Siri's listening in.
All right. Well, we need to wrap this up, so.
Okie dokie.
Craig, are you eligible for an upgrade on your phone?
I've had this one for a while. I could go wherever I wanted, get whatever I wanted. I'm not beholden to anything.
Okay, get a f***ing iPhone.
Jeez.
Monkey.
Do what we tell you.
Well, we're out of time. I mean, how else am I going to convince you? Craig, wake up, Craig.
That was really mean. All right. Maybe I need sleep.
All right, show's over. I'm tired.
And where can they find us, Mike? Oh, well, let's do this quick. Kurt, thanks for joining us. Because I think we forgot to thank JD last week.
Did we?
Yeah. I'm sorry, JD. Thank you for joining us last week.
So we're done with the fake episode. We're going to record the real one next.
Sure. Yes, stick around.
Awesome.
But thanks.
You're welcome.
Thanks, little bro.
Thanks, Kurt.
Where can they find us, Mike?
You can find us at nerdburgershow.com, at Nerdburger on the Twitters, Nerdburger Show on Facebook, Stitcher on Stitcher,
and
email us, nerdburgershow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerdburger, Craig shows up his brand new iPhone.
Sweet!
You know how I always lie during these outro bits?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to happen in the next week anyway.
No.
No. All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.